Welcome to the Ortho Activist Podcast. I'm your host, Bradley Coffey, and I am the Manager of Government Affairs at the American Alliance of Orthopedic Executives. The episodes in this series will focus on the personalities in Congress, policy debates in the legislative and executive branches, and how they affect orthopedic practice management. The information contained in these podcasts comes from my interactions on Capitol Hill, as well as the newspapers, blogs, and websites covering healthcare policy. A quick note, if you have ideas for topics that you'd like covered on this podcast, please email AAOE's government affairs staff at advocacy@AAOE.net to provide suggestions.
To build a future of quality health care, we must trust patients and doctors to make medical decisions and empower them with better information and better options. We share a common goal, making health care more affordable and accessible for all Americans.
Now is the season for action. Now is when we must bring the best ideas of both parties together and show the American people that we can still do what we were sent here to do. Now is the time to deliver on healthcare.
On this episode, I want to talk about a bill that was just passed by both chambers of Congress and sent to the White House a couple of days ago. The VA Mission Act was passed a couple of days ago in the Senate after being passed by the House of Representatives. Before I get into what this legislation does and why it's a topic of this podcast, I'd like to take a moment and reflect on what a big deal this actually is, and then remark on why it's not such a big deal. For this Congress, and this Congress in particular, this is monumental. Since the start of the 115th Congress in 2017, there have been 13,672 pieces of legislation. Of those, only 175 actually became law. Contrast this with the 114th Congress, which was the previous Congress. There were 12,063 bills introduced, of which 338 were sent to the president. If we go all the way back to the 93rd Congress, which was 1973 to 1974, 26,222 pieces of legislation were introduced, and 807 were sent to the president. Even when taking into consideration Congress's increasing reliance on omnibus bills, in which numerous pieces of legislation are packaged together into one large bill, the 115th Congress has been one of the most unproductive Congresses in the modern history of the Republic. The fact that they were able to agree on any policy specifics and actually send the bill to the Oval Office should be celebrated as a national holiday. However, there won't be any celebratory ticker tape parades down Pennsylvania Avenue, because this bill is about health care for America's veterans. And in reality, bills concerning veterans are generally pretty easy for members across the political spectrum to reach bipartisan consensus on. Of course, this is not to say that we shouldn't be appreciative of policymakers' work to improve the care provided to our nation's veterans. Now, with all of that out of the way, let's dive into what this bill actually does. For starters, the VA Mission Act sunsets the Veterans Choice Program after 1 year. Now, for those of you that are a part of the VA Choice Program, don't freak out. While the program is going away, it is being replaced by the Veterans Community Care Program, which will create networks of private practice physicians that can provide care to veterans. Reimbursement under the VA Community Care Program would be tied to the Medicare fee schedule, meaning that those providers and hospitals participating in the program would be reimbursed at their respective Medicare rates. One of the issues identified with the VA Choice Program was that payment to non-VA providers was often delayed due to red tape and unclear billing requirements. Under the VA Mission Act, Congress has created statutory caps for claims processing. Under these caps, VA will have 30 calendar days to pay for or deny services after receipt of a clean electronic claim. VA would then have 45 calendar days to approve or deny payment after receipt of a clean paper claim. In the event of a denial, the VA is required to notify the provider of the reason for denying the claim and what, if any, additional information is required to process the claim. After this, VA would have 30 calendar days to approve or deny the claim after the additional information is provided. Providers also face a claims cap of 180 days to submit claims. So if you've provided care to a VA Community Care Program beneficiary, so a veteran, You would need to submit your claims within 180 days in order for those claims to be considered by the VA for payment or, unfortunately, denial, if that is the case. Claims not paid according to the statutes would be subject to interest payment penalties. So the VA would be on the hook for those interest payments if there were issues getting those claims out in a timely manner. The legislation also clarifies that the VA may share patient medical records with non-VA providers, provided that they are caring for the patient in question. This would allow for the treating physician to review the patient's medical history, including for a history of opioid dependency. This is important because the legislation also requires that community care providers review the prescribing guidelines found in the Opioid Safety Initiative. Additionally, community care providers would be required to submit medical records of any care provided, including any medication prescribed, and this includes opioids, to the Veterans Affairs Administration in a time frame and format specified by the VA. Providers not complying with these requirements may be removed from the community care program. This is big progress for the VA Choice Program, soon to be known as the Community Care Program. However, one of the issues that we've heard about the most related to the Choice Program is the length of time that it takes for prior authorization. And unfortunately, this isn't addressed in the legislation. Some practices have reported spending hours on the phone for a single patient and having to do each prior authorization request individually. AAOE and other organizations have been engaging with lawmakers on this issue, and we will continue to do so. These extreme prior authorization requirements hinder patient care and sap resources from the practices providing said care. And it's issues like this that make your engagement with our advocacy efforts important. Thanks to constituent communications to AAOE, we were able to identify prior authorizations as a threat to the VA Choice Program, and we now have a roadmap to advocate against this time-sucking requirement. The more that you write your legislators and submit comments to the VA when the rules implementing the VA Mission Act are released, the more likely we are to make positive change on this and other issues. So I mentioned earlier that there would be rules put forward to actually implement the VA Choice Program. And this is something that Congress commonly does. They will set the framework for a program and then leave it up to the executive agency to actually create the program itself. And that's what we're expecting VA to do. So in addition to monitoring the Medicare program, as well as the Department of Justice and Department of Labor, AOE will now begin to monitor the Veterans Affairs Administration rulemaking so that we can determine when we need to be active on a particular issue. And this is an issue that we want to be active on because we want veterans to receive care and we want our members to be able to provide that care. So for a summary of the VA Mission Act, you can head over to aaoe.net/podcast, and the House Committee summary of the legislation is provided there for you to review. This legislation does a lot of other things. I've only highlighted the portions that I think are going to affect our members. So I encourage you to go and take a look at it. It's about a 26-page document, some light reading for your Memorial Day weekend or a weekend where you just don't have anything else to do. But it is very interesting to see how this program is going to be created. Now, for the next couple of months, you will be sick of hearing me talk about this, but one of the best ways that you can get the advocacy bug is to attend AAOE's Capitol Hill Day in September of this year. And when I say advocacy bug, I mean writing your legislators, creating comments when a regulatory agency puts forward a rule. This is one of the best ways to get that. AAOE provides you a safe environment to meet with your legislators and advocate on the issues that truly matter to your profession. Your meetings are scheduled for you. Talking points and leave behind summarizing our asks are provided to you, and we train you. All you have to do is bring the experience of working in a medical practice with you. To register for AAOE's Capitol Hill Day, you can go to aaoe.net/hillday and click on Register Now. There's no time like the present to be the change you want to see in the world, and AAOE is right here with you. That's all that I have for this week's episode of the Ortho Activist Podcast. If you have any questions or you want to provide some information about something that you would like to see in a future episode, please email me at advocacy@aaoe.net. Thank you very much.